Welcome to This Is Madness.
We'll be destroyed for sure. This is madness.
Welcome to the second episode of This Is Madness. I am one of the podcasters tonight. My name is Mark Seib. Basically, the format for this show, whoever has that on in the background, shut it off before I kick your ass. Format for the show is this. Basically, it's just a conversation between friends. Most of us all of us happen to love Star Wars. It may be a Star Wars podcast. It most likely will be. It might not. It might veer into other territories, talking about other things. But imagine that you're sitting, you know, with some friends, talking about what comes up. One conversation leads to another, and that is our podcast. With that, let me turn it over to the co-host, Noah, and I was going to introduce our co-podcasters for the evening.
All right. Okay, let me pull up the list of these people. Thrawn Kill. Oops. One
sec. Nick.
I'm already butchering this. This is awful. Okay, so we have the two guys from Rebels Report, Pete and Andy. What's up, guys?
Who's talking first? Is it me or Pete?
I'll go first because he named me.
I'll go first.
Me.
Fine.
Whatever. Get back in the co-pilot seat.
Okay.
Hey, boys. This is and girl. This is Pete from Rebels Report. How are y'all doing tonight?
Good, thank you.
All right, and we have Andrew, LA Kings Drew on Twitter from... Absolutely nothing. What's going on?
Not true. Making Star Wars card trader.
Okay.
Star Wars card trader.
See, I shouldn't have this job.
Somebody else next week. All right.
Thrawn Kill from Thrawn. Do you write on any website or anything?
Not currently, no.
So from absolutely nothing, Thrawn Kill.
You can call Nick.
Nick, oh yeah,
Nick,
Lord Star Wars,
Lord Sluggo, been around on the message boards for quite a few years,
Sluggo. many years, over 10, right?
Oh yeah.
And then we have Elaine. You joined a lot of podcasts recently. It seems like, is it just me?
No.
What?
I am on. Well, I will be on Legends and Lore with Jason and Jonathan. And then I am a co-editor for DarkSideOfTheForce.com, and then I write reviews for Making Star Wars.
There you go.
Score Tracks, Elaine.
Oh, yes, and I am also a co-host on Score Tracks.
Thank you.
Score Tracks. It's my fault the last episode didn't go up.
Sorry, yeah, well, we'll not talk about that. Let's keep going.
And then we have Imperator. I did this last time.
Matt.
This is Matt, yeah.
Matt from... Oh, he's your official 501st member, right?
Yep, yes.
That's pretty cool. I'm looking at your Twitter bio right now.
Spend too much money on costumes, basically, but it is.
Devout Star Wars lover. I live at the beach, but don't surf. Surfing's dangerous.
I can barely swim, so that's why I don't surf.
Okay, and then we have
and?
Ron.
Yes.
Ron, go Asians, right?
And woohoo!
From J.J. Abrams. And then...
President of Peru.
Making Star Wars, that Ron. And then Mark Seib from Score Tracks, Making Star Wars. Now this is podcasting last week, right?
Yes.
And you just do a lot of stuff. You've been on Kessel Run Radio a few times. And so you're cool. And then me... StarWarsTime.com. I host, moderate This Is Madness. Do Kessel Run Radio sometimes, and then I just do whatever I can do because I like doing stuff. Okay, Mark. I think that's everybody. I butchered it again.
We leave anybody out? No?
I don't think so.
Cool.
All right, so here's the topic of conversation. First question is going to go to Ron. Ron, this is all about diversity in our favorite science fiction, okay?
Yay.
So with the announcement of Asians,
go Asian.
in the upcoming movie...
They're already presidents, what?
What is your thought about Hikaru Sulu in Star Trek?
I like him.
Okay, I'm just kidding. That's not the question. Right, here's the question. Okay, so we saw that Donnie Yen and I don't even know the other guy's name. Jiang Wen? Is that his name?
Yeah, I think so.
We saw that they've been announced to be in Rogue One, and we also saw a picture of them. And yeah, so far, it looks like Jiang Wen is a samurai, based on the picture, and that Donnie Yen is a blind bowmaster or staff master in
just
the
like every Asian in every movie,
just like Zatoichi, just like pretty much, you know, Stick in the old Daredevil comics. So the question is, it's nice to have representation, but are we just having more of the cultural influences of Asians in the past, or are we going to look to break new ground? Does that make sense?
I think so. It's a really multi-layered topic, right? Because, as you all know, obviously it's a big deal to me to have more general diversity, not just Asians, even though I'm banging that drum all the time, just general diversity, gender diversity, ethnic diversity, and all of that in the Star Wars universe, specifically. And so we finally get two main characters in the Star Wars spin-off anthology, Star Wars Story, yada yada, to represent Asians in this galaxy. And so it's hard to then turn around and then be extra picky and say, well, okay, I want Asians, but then I want Asians who look like this or who do that. And the other hand too, it's I'm always torn. Asians are known for certain things. Martial arts, Bruce Lee, right? And so in some ways, I really embrace that. Like, samurais are awesome. But on the other hand, there's a stereotype that not all Asians do martial arts, and that also doesn't necessarily just define Asians.
Ron, do you do martial arts?
I did.
Why do you have to live up to the stereotype, Ron?
Hey, some of us were forced to do it when we're
right. when we're younger, a lawyer but or a doctor.
I'll leave that unanswered. here's the bottom line. I know I'm going a little long, but my point is I think it's up to the storytellers. Even if it starts in a place where it looks like maybe characters that have been done before, to do what Star Wars does and make it multi-layered, to make the characters have more depth than other of Asians that we've seen in the past. Even though they may start out as you know, kind of symbols of what we all expect, I would hope that by the time we've all seen Rogue One, that those characters will have more layers than those past kind of generic characters that we've seen.
Okay, Pete.
Yes.
Thoughts? Do you have any?
Well, I'm not gonna. I you know, I'm coming from the great state of Vermont. And I'm a Caucasian male, so I can't really speak to what the representation means to me. But I will say that I think we've seen a real conscious effort on the part of Lucasfilm, no matter what medium you've seen since the Disney takeover, to create more diversity in the franchise. You can go to books, you can go to comics, you can go to the TV shows, you can go to the movies that we've seen announced, and they've been pushing it. Now there isn't like a 50% men, 50% women. There isn't like this percentage of minority group in any of the products. But there's a conscious effort, I think, on their part and to sort of mix up the Star Wars cast, I guess, no matter what medium you're in. And I think that's a good thing. I mean, if you look at the young kid books, the young adult books, the Zara Leonis books, you know, that's the big, like, new story books instead of just adaptations. And they're starring a dark-skinned character. If you look at the comics, we've got, you know, different characters, all kinds of different characters introduced. And if you look at what we've seen from the movies, we have a nice mix from all kinds of different backgrounds. And I would say I certainly can agree that the Donnie Yen casting might be playing a little bit more into the Asian stereotype with the bow and the garb that seems a little more Asian influenced. But the Jiang Wen stuff, he looks more like the bruiser that you might have got from like a Dolph Lundgren or somebody in the past. So I'm not sure
at all.
Yeah, the armor a little bit, but to me it feels like that kind of he's carrying the big gun. He's like the big, tall action hero guy.
All right,
that's gonna be blowing stuff up. And then, you know, of course we have, you know, all kinds of other groups going on. And one thing I would focus on, like, with the Imperials, it's really nice to see, because the lead Imperial character we have in new canon so far is, I'm forgetting her name now that I'm on the pressure. The captain who turned into an admiral.
Sloan?
Yeah, Rae Sloan. She's like our lead Imperial character in the new canon, and she's a woman of dark skin as well. So we're getting a lot of characters from different backgrounds and different appearances. And if you go to what Andy and I covered, Rebels, none of the characters are default Caucasian. So I think we're seeing a lot more inclusion, you know, going forward.
Okay, well, we'll jump over then to the Canuck, to Andy.
Hello.
Your thoughts, my friend?
So here's the thing. This is the first time we've seen in a leading role a person of Asian descent. We've seen in the prequels, we saw, what, Bultar Swan. We saw a couple little senators here and there. But there wasn't a lot of Asian representation. And I think on Disney's part, realistically, you have to look at foreign markets. You have to look at where a majority of blockbuster money is coming from these days. We're looking at emerging markets. You're looking at China. You're looking at these other places. And you need to start branching out who you want to sell your movie for. And if you have movies with a wider range of diverse cast members, it's going to be more accessible to most people. If you have all white cast members, then maybe only Western audiences can relate and want to go view that. Whereas if you're able to broaden it, you've gotten yourself a whole new market. And it's going to be really exciting to see the dynamic that they bring to the team.
I agree. Let's see. Elaine, thoughts?
Well, I mean, I think Pete was saying, I'm sorry, I cannot remember these guys' names, but the one in the back with the long hair, that's the guy you're talking about, right?
Jiang Wen.
Yeah.
You can call him Wen.
Wen, okay.
Just say Wen.
So bad.
See, to me, he doesn't really look like very as what you would call an Asian stereotype. I would say that the gentleman in front, you know, carries that.
Sounds like an Asian stereotype.
Panda Express.
You know.
Panda Express.
Wow.
I didn't say anything. And for me, I'd say more it's a cultural stereotype through their media. You know,
Well, I mean, and it's... I don't really have a problem with it, because I feel like we haven't really... I mean, it's part of the Asian culture, and, you know, what better way to celebrate Asians by having at least one who, in the film, who represents an Asian influence, as well as, I mean, that could also be science fiction. You know, they're representing diversity and diverse culture in one package. And also, I mean, the Asian culture, you know, it has a very artistic aesthetic. It looks great in a warrior setting, etc. So, I mean, I don't really have a problem with it. And like you say, John Wynn in the back, I don't think he really personifies an Asian stereotype, as far as he doesn't really look like a samurai or anything to me. He looks like, you know, I think it was Pete who said that he just looks like the action guy.
Okay, yeah.
The guy who's gonna, you know, carry the big guns and do the dirty work. So, I mean, that's just how it looks to me.
All right, Nick, your thoughts?
I think you would take it as a, you first look at it as a macro level, where they know they want to be diverse in their casting, but you want to hit that Asian market and other various markets, and so you know you're going to cast diversity already, and you're centering on a team who is made up of people who do not have the Force to use in their daily life or in any of their adventures that they may get into. And so you cast a few, African-Americans, you cast some Asian folks, and you kind of, how can we show off what they have to offer to the audience we're trying to get to? And so you take some of the best, someone who is considered the best, like Donnie Yen, and you give him an opportunity to shine with what he does the best, and you incorporate it into the story of this team, whereas, yeah, he may be blind, but his ability to use that stick while being blind and people underestimating him is how he gets through and makes it to the next adventure. And he's just another face in this rogues gallery, I guess you would say. And so we're not even gonna care that he's Asian. And I think by the time that movie comes out, nobody will care about race of any of the people in that cast. It'll just be looking for a great Star Wars movie.
And if I could throw something out there in the chat,
and then we still got Drew to talk to.
Okay, but in the chat board, Darth Kindness says, "I love getting more strong female leads too," and yeah, I definitely agree with that. And also, but I mean, we're talking about Asians here. I understand that, but we'll
branch out in a second. I just, you know,
Drew. I'm just saying, Drew, we have Riz Ahmed and Diego Luna in there too. There's one white Caucasian human person, blah blah blah, in this photo of all these rebels.
Yeah, but they're going to be fighting a bunch of white stormtroopers, so maybe that's that evens it off.
And a white Ben Mendelsohn.
All right, we got Drew, then Matt. Drew, go.
I'm looking at the photo right now, the cast, and I mean it's great that in this galaxy, excuse me, in the movie, you have all these different, you know, nationalities or races that they're all joining up. And when I look at Wen, is that what his name is, Wen? What you guys said?
Yeah. Let's just go with that.
When I look at him, he kind of reminds me of from The Last Samurai, Ujio. I can't remember the actor's name, but he was Ken Watanabe's kind of sidekick. He was like the brave samurai type, you know.
Oh, that guy was awesome. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
And when I see Donnie Yen, he looks more... Now, first of all, I don't even know if he is blind. He may be a different type of species of character that looks human, that just looks like blue eyes. But, I mean, until we find out more, I'm not going to say he's blind, but I can't... As an American fan, I can't understand how you can say you're diversifying a culture or a cast, and then you cast him in a role that we've seen a million times over in films, you know, the blind monk that is extremely gifted in martial arts, but, you know,
right,
he can't see. So, I mean, that kind of, you're playing into a stereotype, but you're saying you're diversifying at the same time. I mean, I don't really agree with that.
Right.
Yeah, but all the other characters are diversified. I mean, white Han Solo is the white prince, right?
Prince. I've never thought of Han Solo as a prince. That's weird.
What?
Now, I have a question, if I can interrupt.
Rain prince or a regular prince?
Now, we're talking about, you know, they're playing into some of the stereotypes from film and stuff. Do you think it's not necessarily they're going for the stereotype, but they're trying to sort of pay homage to some of the influences? Because we know Kurosawa was reportedly a major influence on Lucas. And is this them sort of calling back to that influence and try to, you know, introduce that motif to people?
I think so, because they said the Seven Samurai was part of becoming the Seven in The Force Awakens, correct?
That's the
I'm not sure if that's actually the reference there, because the Seven also is kind of a code name. It's not what, you know, obviously we think that's the Knights of Ren, but the Seven, they're supposed to be like, if I recall correctly, like Ronin, who then decide to, like, who are kind of hired to defend, right? That's like the bounty hunter arc in the Clone Wars. That was the specific throwback to the Seven Samurai.
Yeah, it could just not be. It could be indirect. Who knows?
Yeah,
Matt, have you put in your thoughts on this?
No, but I like the way they're going with the diversity. I mean, it's like you said, you only see one Caucasian character, and it's a female, which is a plus. And then I'm almost full Hispanic. My mom's Cuban. My mom and Maria here from Cuba, and my dad's Mexican. And I don't know, when I saw Diego Luna cast, it instantly got me more interested in Rogue One than The Force Awakens, just because, you know, there's this face that I can relate to that looks, you know, like me. And I don't know, I think Donnie Yen's character is blind too. Like, his eyes are just so paled over and white that I don't think he can see. But then I also get the, what you guys are saying too about playing into that stereotype of the blind monk, you know, maybe they're doing it to pay, you know, homage to like the Kurosawa films or try to pull in the other Asian cultures, but I'm not sure. I'm curious to see how they'll react to that, you know.
So one of the things that's really great about having an actor like Donnie Yen is one of my friends, good friends of mine, who loves his movies that he's done, is martial art movies like I guess it's Ip Man and Kung Fu Jungle and Legend of the Fist. He loves these movies, and he doesn't really like Star Wars. But he texted me a couple days ago, holy crap, what's this movie that Donnie Yen is in? Is he a Star Wars movie now? And then immediately he's interested in it. So it's also opening up, like, your people have their favorite actors, and Donnie Yen comes from a whole background of completely similar genre to Star Wars, but it's nowhere near what American audiences are used to and Western audiences are used to, but a lot of people who like the movies from, let's say, Hong Kong and stuff will now kind of be interested in to see what Donnie Yen will bring to Star Wars, and maybe be interested in Star Wars, and maybe that'll be the one that gets them into the universe. Maybe they've never seen a Star Wars movie before, and Rogue One will be their first one because Donnie Yen was in it.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it's just, it's their roll of the dice to introduce the Star Wars universe to the Asian market and hopefully scoop it up.
They could be doing the same with Diego Luna too, because I know he's really big in Mexico, so they could be trying to pull in that market with his acting.
Yeah. And they had said, I think one of the biggest, well, it might be third. I don't know the rankings, but as far as Fast and the Furious, the new one, I think they were shocked at how diverse the movie going audience was for that movie. The breakdown was pretty much split between women and whites and blacks and you name it. I mean, it was just a huge global. Right. I mean, it drew in everybody, and so I could see the perks in putting, you know, a different races and different cultures in there.
As long as we don't get The Rock with arm butter in there.
Now, is anybody opposed to The Rock in Star Wars besides myself?
I love The Rock. Are you kidding? I can smell what he's cooking.
Put a Rancor's head on him. Make him a Rancor.
That'd be so awesome.
No way. The Rock is the man.
If they ever make a Darth Bane movie, The Rock better play Darth Bane.
Amen.
You could take a dump in a bag and somebody would buy it. You know they would.
Well, you know, going back to the Fast and Furious, actually, I think that's a really great reference, right? Because the first two, I think, movies were very much a niche film franchise. And after the second, it really didn't do that well. And Justin Lin takes over, totally revamps the franchise. And they basically, I don't know the inner workings of what happened with the Fast franchise, but, you know, essentially it was almost a dead franchise. They didn't have a lot of hopes after Tokyo Drift. And so they basically said, yeah, you do what you're going to do with it. He revamps it, completely changes the focus, makes an incredibly diverse cast that pretty much we haven't seen duplicated in other big franchises, and it goes nuts. Far exceeds anybody's expectations. There's already Fast 8 coming out, which is just crazy. And now he, you know, Justin Lin is going to take over Star Trek. And so it's interesting to see in that film franchise where you don't have a lot of cultural stereotypes, right? You have the Asian guy who actually was hooking up with Gal Gadot's character, who's now Wonder Woman. And there's very little about him except for the fact that he appeared in Tokyo Drift, that you were to say in character, oh yeah, that's the Asian guy who does martial arts or who does, you know, one or the other. And I think there's that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that there's a good example of a character from Tokyo Drift, Brian T, who played the main younger villain in the role in the movie. I just saw him in Jurassic World, and he was also, I believe, in The Wolverine. And a lot of his last role in Jurassic World wasn't centered around him being a martial artist or being Asian. It just he was a soldier working for the company, and it was great to see.
Right. Yeah, and just going off the Furious 7 point that Ron was talking about, I believe, if you look at the numbers, Furious 7 did 76% of its box office was overseas.
That's crazy. It's normally like a 60-70 breakdown overseas lately, but...
Yeah, the top three movies this year did like 60 to 76% overseas. So, I mean, with these diverse casts and these... And some... Like, if you're grabbing like a lead star from one of these major countries, whether it's Mexico or China, you can probably get a pretty good marketing campaign built around them, I'm guessing, in those territories. Because we're seeing in some of these big-budget blockbuster movies, they're doing huge numbers overseas.
Furious 7, Knights of Ren. That's what Randy said.
Yeah, that's right. I think one of the things is the tension is an Asian character, like an Asian character versus like an Asian-American character. Like I'm Asian-American. I'm way more American than I am Asian. I was born here. You know, I definitely identify as an American. And so sometimes for Asian-Americans who really want to see that representation on screen, that's far more challenging. Because people expect when you see an Asian character that they're going to do martial arts. And another good example is Steven Yeun in The Walking Dead. You wouldn't know anything about his character that is Asian. It doesn't matter. The cast in universe doesn't look at him as that Asian guy. His story arc has been fantastic. And he's someone who most people would identify. Okay, Asian Americans would point to him, and he is like the Asian American darling right now in media. Whereas Donnie Yen, which is like you probably couldn't get a bigger Asian name to appeal to the Asian markets. And, you know, I hope to see both. I would love to see both.
When y'all talk about IP Man or Ip Man, how do you say it? Do you say Ip?
Ip.
Ip?
Yeah.
I've always said IP Man.
And seriously, that's not even Donnie Yen's best film. I know that's the most popular with American audiences, it seems, but... Go get Iron Monkey, I'm telling you.
He saves their servers with Wang Chung.
Was he one of the ones that was choreographing the fight scenes, too?
For which?
Didn't they hire some of the guys for, I think, The Force Awakens to choreograph some fight scenes?
No, as far as I know, that was the group who did The Raid.
Raid. Yeah, Raid, Weiss, and Yan Yan Han.
Those the two brothers,
Those movies are amazing.
Yeah.
So what's your everybody's general thoughts about Rogue One? Just obviously all we have is a brief cast list. We have, you know, a picture and a general synopsis. So feel free, anybody jump in. What's your thoughts?
Just from that photo, I'm more excited about it than The Force Awakens. I think the Rebels in this look 10 times better than the original trilogy Rebels. Like, I see the original trilogy Rebels and, like, honestly, I chuckle at them because they look so silly. I see these Rebels, I'm like, I don't want to mess with those guys. They look scary as hell.
Yeah. I mean, I think that... I mean, I'm not more excited for Rogue One than I am for The Force Awakens. Maybe when The Force Awakens gets here, and then I get the Blu-ray, and I've watched it a few times, I'll be like, okay, let's get to Rogue One now. But I'm definitely excited, obviously.
So, Mads Mikkelsen is in the movie. We don't know what he's playing yet, but that alone gets me excited.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. He's probably going to be an Imperial. You know, seeing him in the olive green suit would be amazing.
I can totally deal with Hannibal getting canceled if it meant him being a Star Wars.
Yes.
Or maybe he'll wear a white uniform.
Ooh. Thrawn's not in it.
I see where you're going with this.
Oh, wow.
And then... Alan Tudyk, fan favorite for Firefly.
Hey,
he's in Dodgeball too. He plays the pirate,
and he's also in Dale Tucker versus Evil, he's which is a very underrated movie.
It's a great movie.
Good voice actor,
but Alan, he's gonna be, now that you bring that up, he's a good voice actor. He is gonna be motion capture, so he will be doing voice acting also.
And we also have, in addition to Mads, we have Forrest Whitaker and Ben Mendelsohn who weren't in the picture.
Yeah.
So I'm presuming they're probably Imperials or other characters.
I think Forrest Whitaker is going to be like a rebel leader. I think
he could be. But I mean, Mendelsohn and Whitaker, I don't know if anybody watched Bloodlines with Mendelsohn on Netflix, but these two actors both chew up the scenery like crazy. Yeah. There's going to be a lot of good acting in Rogue One. That's what I'm most excited about. We have some really heavy hitting actors in this movie.
Yeah, part of it seems to me like it might even kind of take after like sort of an Italian Jobs type movie, but maybe mixed with Smokin' Aces. That'd be pretty awesome.
What do you guys think about the... I know a couple of people were saying that the cast photo just seemed... It seemed cool, but it didn't really seem Star Wars because it was so kind of dark or maybe grittier. Than you know what you kind of expect from Star Wars. Did you guys feel like it was Star Wars?
Yeah.
So definitely. This is what my theory is about it all. So Disney is putting an incredible amount of effort right now into The Force Awakens, making that into the most accessible film possible. Make it something that you could take your grandfather, your father, and you could all enjoy it and have a fantastic time. Now, Rogue One, I think, is their first standalone that they're going to test the waters. You're going to try to figure out what works outside of the saga films. That's for everybody. You're going to get this one. This is going to be a darker, grittier Saving Private Ryan. Like, this is the kind of thing you're going to be getting. It's going to be intense. And then we're going to get our Han Solo one, which I think is going to be another test. All right, now let's try comedy. Let's try something lighthearted. Let's see how that sells. So we'll see Rogue One was successful in these markets, in this area. And then let's see what happens to this comedic one. And then maybe throw another one at us with the next one so that they can see what sticks. So what can they keep focusing on? What movies work the best?
Yeah, to answer Ron's question, when I first saw the image, it didn't feel a lot like Star Wars, but being the costumer that I am, you overanalyze everything that comes out, and when I zoom in and look at the photo, like, you look at Diego Luna's coat, it's like a Han Solo coat, but then it has the ribs on the arms from Luke's jacket in the ceremony. The guy behind him is wearing what looks like a Hoth rebel suit, but it's brown instead of white. The guy behind him is wearing like a flight suit, almost like an Imperial, but, you know, the more you look at it, the closer you can see little Star Wars bits in it.
Yeah, I think that was kind of like my impression at first, was that when I first saw it, it was just kind of... It definitely doesn't feel like classic Star Wars. But I think that, you know, a lot of the legends were not necessarily classic Star Wars either. Like, the legends explored a lot of things, like, they explored some... dark Sith history with Darth Bane and Darth Plagueis and stuff like that. Plagueis. And they, you know, they did the Han Solo books, and they did what else did they do? They did some funky things with the Fate of the Jedi series, you know, Avaloth and all that silly stuff. But anyway, so I
Chewbacca
think that,
got hit by a moon.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, the point being that though it doesn't necessarily look like the Star Wars we're used to, the legends have been able to tell new and new stories in kind of different genres, and yet it still feels like it's happening in the same universe. It doesn't feel like you've left. So I think that Rogue One will kind of feel the same way. It's going to feel different, but it will... You will still be able to believe that it is taking place in the same in the galaxy far, far away.
And there will be enough imagery that we're familiar with. If they go to Yavin 4, if they have the Tantive 4, if they have Star Destroyer Stormtroopers, that it feels like Star Wars, and you'll know it feels like Star Wars.
Right, and it's still like in this image, everything like when you just look at it, just and you don't zoom in and look at different things. It doesn't look like there are a lot of new things going on. It's a very new look for the rebels. I mean, you know, that we've seen dark clothing. Everyone looks very solemn, kind of dirty and grimy. And so, you know, at face value, it doesn't necessarily look like, again, like what we're used to. But there are influences, and that's, I think that's going to be important. So
I like that photo. I think I think for me, the first impression I get out of it, looking at it, is these guys are dirty. Maybe they work in the landing bay or that type of job, or where they come from. Similar to the Battlestar Galactica that got remade and put out. See a lot of those guys working in the loading bays, and they're dirty and greasy, but they're not really majorly part of the big scale operation was going on, and that's what we're going to see. We're going to see these other guys that no one seems to really look at or seems to walk by, and they're going to be the ones to bring this vital information and you know, turn, you know, make a big step.
The clean people get to blow up the Death Star.
Hey, that's a pretty white dress you have on.
I like that it's kind of like Rebels is too. You know, they're not a unified set of armor or costume. The Rebels are, you know, Kanan's got bits and pieces of armor. Hera has a flight suit. You know, these guys are all just a mixed mash of hodgepodge.
Exactly. Yeah, and they, to me, they remind me of what we saw at Celebration with the Bad Batch. This is like the sort of the unit that's a little off. They sort of obey their own rules. And when I look at the picture, to me, it looks like we just got back from a mission, and they're being told they have to go out on another mission like right now. So they're all dirty. They haven't had a chance to relax yet. They haven't had a chance to shower. They're just still in the bay getting, you know, unwinding right before they do that stuff. And now they're being told they have to go out on another mission.
I'm concerned that this might fall into cliche territory, to be honest. I mean, this is the kind of thing that I'm worried might fall into, like, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles trap or your A-Team trap. We've seen this before. We know how the cliches work. We know how that all comes down. So I'm really hoping they kind of break out of that mold and do something completely unexpected with this group, rather than just your by-the-book, this is our break-in mission, let's get it done.
Agreed. I think that's the key, is they wherever they start, the end has to be a bit different than we've seen.
The end will be costly for them, I think.
The end will be Saving Private Ryan with Felicity Jones in a graveyard, just
oh,
everyone
God.
Else dies on the mission.
So many kills.
Oh. Oh, God. Okay, what do y'all think of the ending of Rogue One being like? What is your ideal ending for Rogue One?
They're all dead.
All dead. Well, I think it'd be cool if you could, like, put in Rogue One, it ends, and you put in A New Hope, and it just transitions perfectly.
That's what I want. I want it to
That's
end
what I want.
Leading up to A New Hope.
Yeah. That'd be great.
That would,
like,
be awesome.
The one way I would want a cameo would be them giving the plans to, like, 3PO or R2 or somebody.
Exactly.
So I want that as well. I have a feeling they won't do it, but then you look at Revenge of the Sith, where they tried so hard to literally end off that film and the beginning of A New Hope. So who knows? Maybe they will do it. And that's what I want. I want to see the Devastator going after the Tantive, and then we're at Tatooine, and that's the end. They transferred the plans. They're all dead, but they were victorious. And happy ending.
Well, why do they all got to die?
Well, is it
bloodthirsty fans.
Yeah.
Is it true that... Did they confirm whether or not Vader would have a tiny role in this or not?
Think of the marketing campaign if Vader was in this. You can have him have, like, a 5-second... like, look at Revenge of the Sith. He was in for, what, 2-3 seconds? And then the entire marketing campaign with his face with lava behind it, and it sold everywhere.
No!
Well, this is their chance to really have a movie featuring Vader. So I would be shocked they didn't have him, because, you know, this is their chance to delve into OT territory and just push Vader. They're even pushing Vader in The Force Awakens, even though it's 30 years after. Right, so it wasn't in.
And in Star Wars Rebels, they had him.
Oh, I was going to say.
Star Wars Rebels.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's here's a question. Do you guys think that any characters from Rebels will cross over into Rogue One?
No.
No. I disagree. I think
I'm not saying it's gonna happen. I'm just saying, you know.
But it won't be obvious. Yeah.
I think the most you'll get is maybe name drops like General Hera or something like that. But I don't think they're going to actually have the character in the movie. What?
No, it'll be Chopper because that'll be the easiest for them to do physically.
Yeah. Oh, God. They've already got built.
We know that Gary Whitta did an episode of Rebels. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that would be so perfect if that episode had some kind of tie-in, even if we don't know yet? Even if it's like just a name that he puts in there, or there's a certain storyline that might connect with Rogue One when we see it, and then we'll realize what we saw. But I think that Gary Whitta's episode, or episodes, if he did multiple ones, if he's written multiple episodes, that we'll have some kind of tie into Rogue One.
Well, I think there will be name drops. I think you'll hear these kyber crystals are from Lothal or General Hera. I like that one. But I don't think we're going to get any of the characters seen because, for one, that kind of loses the tent. Like, we kind of lose the tension in the show. Then we know Sabine's going to survive, or we know Zeb's fine. But if you have just name drops, maybe when they're pulling up the plans, they see, this was Governor Tarkin's. He started this process on Lothal. That's the kind of stuff we're going to get.
Yeah.
But isn't technically Rebels going to be off the air by the time Rogue One shows up?
We'll see.
Come on, Rebels Report. Let me know
if it goes into season 3. Because didn't they plan for? They planned for like 3 seasons.
Well, it wasn't seasons. They planned for 3. They broke down. They outlined the story for 3 like massive arcs, but they could do that in multiple seasons. So so it's like 3 giant acts, basically. That's what they talked about, and they could do that over 3 seasons, or they could do it over more seasons, just stretching it out.
Right, at least three.
Yeah.
So
we've seen
it
one.
Still be airing next year.
Right. And they're doing a lot more episodes in season 2. We know that much. And then it seems like Whitta's script is probably in season 3. But so what I would expect, just looking at Rogue One, I'm guessing they're going to probably start the story in media res. So we're not going to sort of get the origin story of these characters. We're going to sort of jump right in with them. I wouldn't be surprised if we see one or two of these characters introduced in an episode that Gary Whitta is writing. Get a little bit of backstory on them before we get into Rogue One.
Yeah, I mean, you could...
characters from Rebels going that way, but characters from Rogue One going the other way.
Yeah, so you could get... Because, I mean, well, I guess it could be a spoiler. I should probably leave it out. It was in the first season.
No, go. Go ahead.
Well, spoilers. I mean, Phoenix Squadron... This is madness. Phoenix Squadron is pretty much no more, so maybe this could be Rogue Squadron getting introduced in, like, season 3 as a replacement.
Yeah. But has it been confirmed, or do I just remember this being a rumor a while ago, that after Rebels ends, isn't there another TV show, animated or not, that takes place during or right before The Force Awakens? Y'all know anything about that?
I think they talked about a close return of the Jedi animated show.
I forget who posted it, but somebody did post that there was going to be an animated show sometime around post-Return of the Jedi. But I think that was just some... made-up clickbait article, I don't know.
Right.
I think it was more just logical deductions of how they can make the most money.
Right, there's been no... I don't think there's been any confirmation on anything like that.
Could they take the Rebels arc and after The Force Awakens, where everybody's now immersed in the Star Wars world here, and then keep going with after the next episode of Rebels picks up after A New Hope, and so we see between... Empire and New Hope, and then between Jedi and Empire, but we see it in animated form, even characters like Luke Skywalker and that's not.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
All right, guys, I've got to bow out. Thanks for having me on again and letting me talk about Asian folk.
Go Asians.
Go Asians, Ron.
Hi, Ron.
You're presidents.
Good talking to you guys. Looking forward to listening to the rest.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Later on.
Ron just sucked the life out of the room.
That Asian is gone.
What do we think about? Do we think about that? That maybe they could be holding back, and finally, when they see, we can start seeing animated Luke and animated Vader, like we already have.
I think it's a must. It seems like something that's long overdue. I mean, obviously heard that rumor before that there's going to be something after Return of the Jedi, and.
Disney went into Marvel's Avengers and started animating that for pretty much a weekly basis too, right?
Yeah.
It's not in continuity. So that's the only thing that's a drag about a lot of the Marvel superhero shows.
But that's why Disney probably bought those Star Wars, and one of the main reasons, because they like to keep the continuity, and their charge to us fans is they're going to keep the continuity.
Yeah. Wait, what are you talking about, Luke and whoever, seeing Luke in Rebels, or a whole totally different show?
Yeah, no, totally. Maybe he pops up in a Rebels episode, but we're seeing another crew of Rebels who are now trying to, help purge the Empire.
I see what you mean.
I have a question for you. Do you all think that we will ever see Luke show up in Rebels? I understand that right now he's a little kid and he's on the farm.
I don't think so. I think Leia maybe, but not Luke.
If they go to Tatooine.
What about Obi-Wan?
Possibly.
Yeah, Obi-Wan, definitely.
I would love to see, if we remember in Star Wars, I don't forget what issue it was, but in the comic, you saw that one-off with Obi-Wan. So couldn't they do that in... Exactly. So Star Wars 8, why couldn't they do that in Rebels? Maybe have just one episode of Obi-Wan on Tatooine, and then you could shoehorn Luke to the show.
An episode of Obi-Wan.
Could be a bonus episode, on a DVD.
Creepy old guy spying on the kid.
More Obi-Wan.
Just one thing to keep in mind is that they're probably not going to do very many one-offs for Rebels, just because of the production costs. And Disney's keeping a much tighter budget than the Clone Wars. So whenever they build a planet or a character model, they're going to want to use it multiple times, not just once. So it makes one-offs a little harder to justify in the budget.
So maybe we'll just see Obi-Wan and it won't be a one-off. I would love if he became a part of this show, because I love Obi-Wan, but
high five.
They need to keep him for his film.
Which we've already seen him in Rebels technically, but I want him to have a bigger part.
Yeah, me too.
I want to see him to have a conversation in the Force with Qui-Gon.
Yeah, that would be
cool. Yeah.
Save it for the Obi-Wan movie.
Yes. Yes. Netflix series.
Obi-Wan trilogy,
I'm just Obi-Wan going Netflix yes.
I don't want an Obi-Wan trilogy. I'm going to be that guy.
You want an Obi-Wan quadrilogy?
I want one Obi-Wan movie, and I want a bunch of different movies. I want more different new stories.
I'm 100% behind Ewan McGregor returning.
Agreed with
this.
Yes. He wants to do it, too.
Yep.
Just give the man a movie.
That's why it might have been before Comic-Con. That fake slate that someone photoshopped.
Oh my gosh, that was so disappointing.
And it said Kenobi on it. Oh, I was so hyped, but yeah.
Many a heart were broken that day.
Yeah. By the way, Johnny Grasso is hitting on Elaine in the chat board.
What?
Oh no.
What does he say?
He said, "Who's this lovely young lady we have in the chat?" And they were like, "Hey, she's a kid."
Johnny Grasso needs some saltpeter in his drink. Jeez. Oh wow. Damn boy.
Easy with those guns, Johnny Grasso.
Everyone's talking about Grasso on the chat board.
Call pizza.
And then Randy just talking about Boshek over here.
What if we get Boshek in Rogue One? What if one of those guys is Boshek?
He's their commander. It's got to be.
Boshek?
Certainly possible.
Commander. Wait, where did he even show up? I can't even think about that.
Cantina.
Right now.
Cantina. And then a one-shot Star Wars Tales.
From the bar, doesn't he?
Yeah,
he refers Obi-Wan to Han and Chewie.
Dang, he's one of the most important characters in the Star Wars universe. He's the reason Obi-Wan met Han Solo.
What if he was Han Solo's friend? And have him in the Han Solo movie.
That'd be cool.
They're Eskimo brothers.
That'd be awesome. Man.
That's possible.
Dude, I just want to, in the Han Solo movie, I just want to see Han go to the cantina, but he's younger, and they say he can't drink or anything, and he just has to sit in the booth by himself.
Drinking blue milk.
Are you guys all looking forward to the Han Solo movie?
I don't think Tatooine would check ID. I think they don't care enough.
Yeah, I don't think they care.
I'm only looking forward to the Han Solo movie if Boba Fett's in it. So, there you go.
I think he will.
can't get too excited about it. Not
you got to introduce him somehow. You got to.
Boba Fett's going to be in everything.
Now, good. If Anthony Gruber plays on,
shut the fuck up.
Okay, okay. What if this kid's been in YouTube and like one movie? Why is Anthony Gruber the biggest?
I don't think he's the right fit.
Ever now.
He's not the right fit. Sorry, Anthony, but I'm not feeling it.
I think so.
He can do an impression, and impressions only go so far.
Yeah. Hey, Harrison Ford had nice things to say about him in a recent interview. So.
Shut the fuck up, Noah!
I retweeted it.
I don't give a shit. He actually didn't really say anything. He was basically just saying what he always says for an actor that you just work with. Like, yeah, he was fun to work with.
He was very talented.
That was a good impression. Hey, Andy should be Andy.
Andy,
should
be. Yeah.
Andy's handy. Andy for Solo.
There we go.
Put a YouTube video, Andy, and get it going.
And then he'll be famous.
But you have to master the cocky grin.
Not gonna
and
happen.
And the eyebrows.
And the eyebrows, yeah.
I saw a tweet the other day. I don't know if it was anybody in this room, but it was like, I know he gives himself migraines and those impressions doing that with his eyebrows all the time.
I think that was Grasso.
Yeah,
he's got to be able to say, hey, it's me.
Hey, it's me. All right, let's move on from Ingrue before people get mad.
Yes, thank you.
Mark's already mad.
Mark didn't even talk.
Go kick a puppy.
I'm trying to let the guests talk. I'm letting them express their opinions. I don't want to talk about fucking Anthony MacGruber again, please.
MacGruber!
I'm so sick of that guy. I don't want him to get it now. I really don't.
Oh my
God. It's like Rich Little getting a. You know, I just dated myself. But Rich Little was an impressionist, so it's like him getting a role of somebody. You
hope
know,
he's not listening to this podcast. Is he
the Amazing Jonathan?
Who, Anthony MacGruber?
Anthony is listening right now, actually.
Good. Fuck you. I don't like you.
All right. We
don't
gotta
care.
We got to start ending this show because I don't want the people on the broadcast that have been listening and been chatting the whole time to get cut off. So we're going to close out the show. Mark, go ahead and start closing it out.
All right. Thanks for the notice, asshole. So let's just go real quick where everybody can find each other on social media. If you want to follow me on social media, you can find me at GriddleMarks on Twitter. Let's go with Elaine. Where can they find you on social media?
You can find me on Twitter at TVEITLIGHT25.
Now try
gonna
saying
get,
that.
You're
actually
get a
say
forward
it.
One moment, and it's process.
Light 25.
All right. Pete, where can they find you?
I'm easy. The Pete Awakens. Look for me on Twitter.
All right. And then Andy?
Canadian Fanboy. Yes. It's Canadian Fanboy or Rebels Report. I mean, either one, you'll find me.
I wonder where Andy lives.
I wonder where
Johnny
I live.
Johnny Fox is in the DM lane right now.
Yes.
Andy's America.
Matt, where can they find you on Twitter?
Twitter at JediHunter66.
Good name.
I approve. Where you all see me tweeting all the pro-imperial statuses.
Oh, yeah, and he says that Luke Skywalker is, like, the worst character in Star Wars. I almost blocked him for that.
I didn't say he's the worst. I said he's my least favorite. I didn't say I hate him.
Shut up.
All right, Drew, where can they find you on Twitter?
What a piece of
junk. At LA Kings Drew, D-R-U.
Follow Drew and myself. Go to makingstarwars.net. Every Monday, except for this Monday, because we took a week off for our Star Wars Card Trader Roundup. And then, Nick, can they follow you?
You can find me at ThrawnKill on Twitter.
ThrawnKill.
On Twitter? And is anybody left out? Did I leave anybody out? Ron is CPTHRIO. If you want to follow an Asian Star Wars fan,
you left out Noah.
Wow. Who gives a shit about him? You can follow him at AnthonyGruber.com.
I have the fan site. Nah, for real, you can follow me at OutlawNoah on Twitter.
That is your real last name?
I swear to God.
Yeah, whatever.
Badass, isn't it?
Jeez.
And then for those of us, real quick, hey, Pete, did you think D23 was worth it or not?
Yeah, no. But I knew what it was going in, and like last year, what's his name got booed, and that was the Star Wars presentation last year. So,
They played the Imperial March and then turned it off and showed Disney's Bears.
Yeah. Oh
my God. But I enjoyed it for the most part. I was actually kind of excited to see Johnny Depp as Jack Sparrow, but then at the same time, I kind of felt bad for him.
Yeah, he had to dress up, and Solo didn't.
Yes, he can cry into his giant pile of pirate gold. I'm sure he's doing. I'm sure he's fine with it.
Yeah.
And also, Harrison Ford's hating his life right now. All this marketing he has to do.
Do y'all buy that he's like always like, oh, it was so fun. I don't buy it.
No.
Well, he did recover from a broken leg in a plane crash, so I'm sure the pain meds help out a little bit. They put you in a good mood. Roll me out on stage. I'm ready.
Happy Han.
Have a handful waiting for me.
Chewie, why are you purple?
They're bribing him with Vicodins backstage. Like, he'll give you a handful of these if you just go up there and be happy.
You're a good little kid there, JJ, huh? What's good?
Okay. Whoa. Someone mowing the lawn.
Thank you. We're about to cut off, so thank you everybody for showing up. There may be a little bit extended on the actual recording of the podcast, but it may cut off any moment. How many minutes we have left now?
2.5 minutes. So
okay. Minutes is cutting off. What did you say, Elaine?
Oh, my recording has hit an hour. I guess you started recording a couple.
Yeah, started recording a little after we started the call.
I was going to get in the
last one. Alrighty. All I heard is, I don't even want to say how I heard that. Oh, gosh. I think you said glass of water, but I didn't hear the GL.
Rosso, let's start it too. Oh. I just love looking at the chat board right now. It's hilarious.
There's a chat board for this? I don't understand it.
On the live feed. We got Darth Kindness, we got Joaquin, we got Jared, and Johnny Grosso, and who else did I miss? Randy. And Rebels Report. Make it a 22-man podcast.
I love all those people.
Wait, who is out of Pete and Andy, who's running the Rebels Report Mixler right now?
That's Andy.
Okay. This is madness. I had fun tonight, guys. Did y'all have fun?
It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was good. Yeah, I liked it.
Yep.
I had beer. It was good. I mean, this podcast was okay. It was cool.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Catch us next week. This is Madness, Episode 3. Tweet us some topics. We haven't said that. Tweet some topics that you think would be interesting for us to start the show with to the This is Madness podcast official Twitter. Do that
at TIM podcast.
At TIM podcast. Thank you, Mark. All right, thank you for listening. Enjoy the rest of your night. This is Madness.
Later.
Peace out.
Thank you.
Adios.
This is Madness.
He destroys the show. This is Madness.